Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Welcome to another one of these. I'm Austin York. That's Tristan Rines, Dylan Reed. Thank you so much for joining us. We've had a very, very busy and I think very productive Cowboys off season. And I wasn't with you guys last week. I added a little bit about the Brandon Cooks trade, but I wanted to get everyone's opinion while we're here. First, I think that this Cowboys off season, at least to this point, really, with maybe some minor tweaks here and there, couldn't have really gone any better. I'll start with you, Dylan. What do you think so far about what the Cowboys have done?
I mean, well, for me personally, and I know the Cowboys aren't known to make a lot of big moves in the offseason, but I have to be honest, this is probably the most impactful offseason I can remember since I graduated high school, which was 2010. So it's been a while since I've seen the Cowboys do anything of this nature. And to be honest, I think what just blows me away is how little they've given away to acquire, you know, Stephon Gilmore and Brandon Cooks.
Right? Yeah, they certainly have not just forked over tons of cash or anything.
Yeah, and really hardly any assets. Because think about it, you know, both of those fifth-round picks are compensatory picks they used to acquire those players. So essentially, the Cowboys have traded one sixth-round pick to get Brandon Cooks and Stephon Gilmore.
Which you may get back in a compensatory next year anyway,
because
that's when that sixth-round pick takes effect.
So it's like, I mean, to get that level, that caliber of player for essentially almost nothing, it's kind of like, had I known we could do that this whole time, I would have been clamoring for it for weeks. I had no idea you could get players of this quality.
And that's what some of the criticism for Jerry Jones, Stephen Jones, and the others have been. Hey, why didn't you do this last year? Why didn't you do this year before? Why didn't you at least try to kind of sense, can we get a trade for this guy or that guy? I have a little response to that. But, Tristan, what do you think so far? I mean, looking around the league, the Cowboys, you would have to say, unless I'm completely wrong, probably one of the better off seasons of most teams.
Yeah, that's exactly where I was going to go with it. I can't get this off season so far for the Cowboys anything less than an A. You got Pro Bowl talent in two very affordable moves as far as draft compensation, like you mentioned. Salary cap, it's maintained very easily, and you guys still have some room to make some good moves to get some depth signings, enough salary cap, to get some good players in the draft and be able to sign them pretty quickly. It's an A+, man. I'm really pleasantly surprised and happy for y'all Cowboys fans.
And I think that's
the word. Yeah,
surprised,
right.
I definitely was thinking, but you know, the Cowboys have always, at least in the last 8 or 9 years since Will McClay came on board, have not tried to redo the team in free agency, which I think has been the appropriate move. I think you go and build your team to the draft. If you feel that you're one or two players away, maybe a little overspend in free agency, but that's what you're going to do. If you're going in free agency, you're going to overspend for guys. And we see the Chicago Bears, I think, look a lot better than they did last year, but they're spending some money to do it with some linebackers that I don't necessarily know are worth it, but that's what the market is dictating right now. The market is definitely not in the favor of a wide receiver right now. It's also not in the favor of a running back. So I look at a guy like DeAndre Hopkins. We get some word that maybe the Arizona Cardinals would be willing to take a 4 or 5. I don't want to get too greedy here, but do you think the Cowboys explore that option at least? I mean, either one of you guys?
You can go ahead, Dylan.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly think they'd at least entertain it, right? I mean, why would you not? I mean, I'm sure the Cowboys have honestly been in talks with the Cardinals. I mean, to think that
he's still in town, if you look at his Instagram.
Exactly. He's been
hanging out in Dallas.
He's been hanging around here for a while. To think that a Will McClay or a Stephen Jones hasn't even picked up the phone to contact the Cardinals, I think that's crazy. I'm sure they've had some conversations. Now, right, if you could, let's say, even get him for a 4 or something, I mean, obviously he's going to cost a little bit more than our other two additions, but
he is slated to make like $30 million this upcoming season. So
it's true.
That's probably the thing, not to cut you off too hard, but yeah. That's probably the big thing that hinges in a lot of these trade talks. That's probably why Hopkins hasn't been dealt so far.
And I think that's true.
But they did very well with Cooks. They got the
got
Texans
to
pick up six.
To bust out six in their own cap. But then they were able to restructure it, I guess. Same thing with they would definitely be doing with D-Hop if they were bring him on the team.
Yeah, you would need to.
The one thing that I do kind of get worried about with fans, and we're talking about greedy fans and everything, is I think that the Madden has really screwed up the average fan. I really think since you guys are both a little bit younger, you probably grew up on Madden. Madden came along when I was like in college, really, when it started getting popular. And it really distorted what people think. Like, oh, man, I took a 2-15 team, and I was able in Madden to win the Super Bowl 5 years later, signing all these guys and whatever. You know, you propose a trade. 5 seconds, 10 seconds later, comes back with a yes or no. Same thing with a negotiating. You throw down a contract. If they don't want to take it, you know, 5 or 6 seconds, know what they're going to do.
Players have overalls, right? That's the thing.
Yeah, I know this guy's 78. And,
exactly. We don't have overalls. Like, it's not like Dak Prescott's an 84.
Yeah, yeah.
And he can progress to an 86 with enough wins. Like, it's a video. Like, that is the thing, is that's what makes it so easy, is that, of course, you could put together a team in a video game where everyone is pre-rated. So
but
like,
I think that's really what, honestly, sometimes is in the back of these guys' minds when they're thinking, why aren't the Cowboys doing it in a timely manner? Yeah. I saw guys getting mad at OBJ, and why haven't the Cowboys done something yet with him? And it's not on Madden. These guys have got feelings. The market is dictating. They're in constant communication with people, and it's not just done over a week or some. Some people want to wait and play things out, let things play out before they make a move.
I mean, you're also dealing with things like agents, general managers. Yes. You're also dealing with, I mean, you're talking about Odell Beckham Jr. He's got a field of potential teams that I'm sure have at least contacted him. The rumor mill flying around, he wants $20 million. Then him responding a couple days later, like, well, I don't want anything less than four. Like, there's all sorts of different things that happen behind these closed doors. Obviously, a Madden football simulator doesn't really encapsulate that, which is why as football fans like myself and probably Dylan, who have played Madden growing up, I wish it was a little bit more authentic in that respect.
Yeah.
So it does get kind of boring after a couple seasons when you're elevating 2-15 teams, to Super Bowls pretty quickly. But
once you've won once the Cowboys now have won the most Super Bowls, you start to think, okay.
Yeah. Six or seven wasn't enough. They won 13 Super Bowls, and now it's time to restart and yada yada. Like.
But I tell you, I really see it when you get on Twitter, and I have to unfortunately be on Twitter during most of the day. You look at these guys and some of the comments that they're making, and these are people with the blue checks.
Yeah.
These are people that should be in the know, and they're making comments about Stephen Jones and Catboy and all these kinds of things. It's like, good Lord, this is not a Madden game. This is real life, and this is actually harder to do. So that's why I think it is time that we tip our cap a little bit to Catboy and the whole front office there with Dallas to give them their due. I think that we both have talked about that they've done enough in free agency. Forget DeAndre Hopkins. That's just kind of a wish list at this point.
Mm-hmm.
They've done enough that now we can start thinking about the draft. And, I mean, again, I think the Cowboys, and you guys can – I'll start with you, Tristan. I think the Cowboys are in a position right now where they can do whatever they want and draft – what everyone always says you should, best player available.
Yeah, I completely agree. There's only a couple of maybe positions of need that you have left. I've heard from a number of Cowboy fans they're not that concerned about tight end. I'd say maybe if there's a good tight end there at 26, go get him. Interior defensive line, we talked about a number of times. There's still a couple of guys in the market that I'm interested in, but round one, you still have guys like Mazi Smith who could be there from Michigan, who's a really good interior presence. You can go round two, Keanu Benton out of Wisconsin. I mean, you've got options, and that's the best way to walk into the NFL draft. You don't want to be the guy sitting at 26 going, oh, man, well, all the guys we loved at cornerback are gone, our Joey Porters or our Banks or Witherspoon or whoever. Well, maybe we'll just go a little bit rich and we'll just snag the guy that we think is the best guy available. No, the Cowboys are in a great position. So far, they've navigated free agency at an A-plus level. I think going into this draft, they're in a very good position, like you said, to get just the best player available in their eyes.
Is there something that you would not like them to do in the first round?
It's tough because there isn't really, right? I mean, obviously the first thing that draws to your head is a conversation we've had here a lot a conversation that has happened in a million different water cooler kind of situations. Everyone's had this conversation with everyone who sits around here in Dallas and consumes football is, what if the Cowboys draft Bijan Robinson, right? You have to wonder, do you want that? Personally, I still think Bijan is such a unique talent that it wouldn't be a bad pick. It would depend on who else is there. I think the only real concern I would have about him or a Gibbs or something is that, you know, it seems like nowadays with a modern NFL running back, you get one in the first round, right? So that's a four-year contract. You can get a fifth year that'll probably be pretty reasonable. And then it seems like all the smart teams, for the most part, detach themselves at that point. So I think I would say, and my instincts are to say running back, halfback there, but there's part of me that also says, like, man, what if Bijan is the most talented guy on the board? Like, shouldn't I take him? And the only hesitancy I'm having is that after 5 years, is it really smart to keep your running back anymore? I don't think it really is. I mean, even a Christian McCaffrey, he's gotten moved on with. Even a Tony Pollard, we'll franchise tag him for 1 year. Even a Saquon Barkley, we'll franchise tag him for 1 year. The best of the best in the game are not even entertaining doing a long-term, or if they are, teams are trying to get out of them. So
well,
it's kind of
yeah,
like,
you look at the market, like I was saying, it's not super been friendly to the running back here. No. We're looking at the tag on Pollard is $10 million, but yet the average running back is on the market this year, they're making something like something a year.
Yeah, like to talk on that point, you have a guy like David Montgomery, who's a former Pro Bowl running back, who's making maybe $6 million this year for the Lions. Jamal Williams, one of the NFL's touchdowns leaders, had 17 rushing touchdowns, set a franchise record. Lions are like, yeah, I think we'll move on. It's okay. Go enjoy New Orleans. It's great. We'll let New Orleans pay for you.
And the Chargers. Is
Austin Eckler. Yeah, exactly. He has the most touchdowns of anybody in the last two seasons. The problem is, guess what? He plays running back,
right?
Yeah.
And they're letting him go.
Saying,
but if
go
he was
ahead.
A receiver, I mean, he'd be making $28 million a year.
Yes.
It's crazy
to
me.
So I think that the market, and people get a little nervous about this stuff, but I think the market's starting to come back down. Where, and this is why I say the market will dictate these things and it'll correct itself. D-Hop is not going to probably, I mean, he's guaranteed his money, but he is going to definitely see some restructuring of his contract no matter where he lands. Mm-hmm. And he's also seen that there's not too many people that are jumping at the chance to go sign him. It's the same thing that's happening with Lamar Jackson and others. I know he's a quarterback and all, but when you start getting greedy or you think that you can do this or that and the other, the market will dictate what happens. And so I think that we're starting to see those wide receivers. The only time, and Lamar is different, the only thing that really makes a difference in these free agency, and I say it's very black and white, quarterback.
Yeah.
If a quarterback moves that is better than the other quarterback that was there, you might have a change. That's why I don't think the Raiders are going to be that much different this year. But who is going to be very different? The Jets. They're going to be a better team.
We're waiting to them officially be better this year. That's still
it'll happen. It'll break everywhere eventually.
He figured it out in the darkness. Aaron Rodgers will definitely come to the light and see exactly that the only option he's got is New York Jets, and I don't think he's not going to play.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams. All in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Speaking of the Jets, our former running back that was here that was a very, I think, kind of one of the reasons the Cowboys did have an A-plus offseason was because they got rid of Ezekiel Elliott. Not that I have anything against the guy. But he has been rumored to go down to three teams or be willing to pick from three teams, Cincinnati, the New York Jets, and the hated Philadelphia Eagles. When I heard that one, I was a little – that kind of raised my eyebrows a bit. I'm like, why in the world would Philadelphia go and that's really just to stick it to the Cowboys. Where do you think Zeke ends up, Tristan?
I mean –
out of those teams, where do you think is the best fit? Or is there another team you think – that's just this is the best team for him, and he'll eventually go.
So let me try to enter Ezekiel Elliott's headspace here. Mm-hmm. If I'm Ezekiel Elliott,
might be some fog in there.
Yeah, maybe. Who knows? But let me do my best. You're going to a team that potentially could get you a Super Bowl ring. I mean, that's mm-hmm. the whole idea that's at this goal. Point. You've been in the NFL for 7 years. I mean, you've pretty much done everything you can at Dallas. You built up a good name for yourself for the most part as one of the better running backs, at least the last decade. You're going for a ring at this point. Now, do I think the Eagles are a very talented football team? Sure, I think they're a great team. And you could stick it to Dallas for letting you walk and all that good stuff. You know, there's the ego behind that. The Jets, kind of an up-in-the-air situation. As a resident Patriots fan on this podcast, I've watched the Jets go from being a team that were always really bad to, oh, man, they should be really good this year, and still being bad. So I don't know that I have that much faith. I know if they get Rodgers officially, that maybe could turn that tide a bit, but I don't know. If I'm Zeke, I'm going Bengals, man. Mm-hmm. Joe Burrow, that team is not only 2 years removed from a Super Bowl appearance, but Joe Burrow is easily, if he's not the best, obviously Mahomes, I think he's the second-best quarterback in football.
Mm-hmm.
And of those three teams, would Philadelphia suit him best just to put him on the 2-yard line and just let him run it in against America's team, his former team?
Would I personally put it past an organization like Philadelphia to acquire Zeke solely in spite of Dallas? No. The Eagles are the most spiteful organization in the NFL. I've said it many times. I do believe it. And it's not just because I'm a Cowboys fan. A Patriots fan here could back it up. Granted, maybe a little bit. Skewed because of the Super Bowl thing, but we can all agree.
I wasn't even thinking about it, but I appreciate you reminding me.
We can all agree that the Philadelphia Eagles are the villains of the NFL. They are. They're the heels of the NFL. I mean, last year, right? They robbed the kettle, right? That's what villains do. They're the villains. So No, of course I don't. I don't really put anything past the Eagles, to be totally honest.
Where would be the best?
I don't think the Eagles would be the best fit for him, and here's why I think that. Because Zeke would mainly get used in a short yardage situation, maybe a goal line situation. And Philadelphia is like a few other teams in the NFL that their number one goal line running option is their quarterback. So why would you get a guy who's going to be your situational short yardage, touchdown, you know, second and goal kind of situation guy if you've already got your quarterback literally doing that? Not a good fit there. I totally agree. Bengals are the best choice there. Jets,
yeah, didn't
you don't
they just
know.
Get rid of some RG Perine?
Yes, yeah. So, yes. Yeah, he just signed with the Broncos.
A good little pickup right there for the if Zeke wanted to go and kind of take his role. Now, he wouldn't be probably used as much as even Perine was, I don't think.
I'd say so.
They could play a similar capacity, though. I mean, Zeke can play in the passing game as well. So, I mean, him and Mixon, I could see that duo working in the backfield for Cincy.
And I wanted to ask this concerning Zeke, and we had a little bit of a conversation on this off-air. What do you think of Zeke? What is his legacy in Dallas? When you heard him leave, I think all of us were saying, okay, that needed to happen. But do you have fond memories of him, negative memories of him? Do you think he should be, let's say, in the Cowboys Ring of Honor, things like that? I know that's far off, but where would you hold Ezekiel Elliott in the pantheon of Cowboys players?
Well, for me, it's weird because his numbers indicate that he belongs in the Ring of Honor.
Yeah, behind Dorsett and Emmitt Smith.
Yeah, and those are two Ring of Honor members. So there's guys underneath him on that list that are in the Ring of Honor. So he kind of like fits the mold of a Ring of Honor member in two ways. One, he has the numbers to back it up. Two, Jerry Jones loves him. That is the most important criteria to get into the Ring of Honor. See Jimmy Johnson.
Well, this is Dylan Reed now. Yeah. Now, where do you, in your heart, were you a little sad to see him go? What was your immediate reaction when it was finally done?
I was, strangely enough, it was almost like when one of your best friends is in a toxic relationship and they get out of it. That's kind of how I felt about it, just to be totally honest, because when Zeke was here, we had a toxic relationship with him. And by we, I mean, Jerry Jones specifically. He was enamored by him. It was very clear that, and I know that Mike McCarthy has his own autonomy, but it's very clear that from higher up, he was demanding that Zeke still be a part of the offense. Remember last season, Tony Pollard starts the whole game. Zeke is out. 150 yards, 3 touchdowns on like 16 some odd carries, right? Jerry Jones right after the game, quote,
We go Zeke, as it goes.
it was Zeke is the straw that stirs the drink.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
the old Reggie Jackson from back in the day.
That's how enamored he was with Zeke. So I think that we had to break up with him. Me, personally, a few years ago, I didn't like the guy. I'm probably wrong for this. I shouldn't. I was a total jackass in my early 20s too, but I definitely judged early Zeke. I mean,
well, yeah, he was immature off the field, and that was costing the team. He got suspended 6 games, whether you believe in that suspension or not. He hurt the team.
And to me, the things that really stuck out to me were Zeke's behavior, even beyond that one suspension. I mean, it's the DJ he punched out. It's the girl's top he ripped down at St. Patrick's Day. I mean, come on, don't do that in front of Dirk. My thing is that I got to watch Zeke grow as a human. So right now my feelings are on Zeke is that I appreciate what he did. I think his numbers are a little inflated. I know he's going to get in the Ring of Honor. That's cool with me. And overall, I think that over the last 3-some-odd years, he's kind of really hampered my team. So it's a really weird feeling that I have where I'm like, loved you when you were great. You kind of screwed my team over, which not his fault. Not his fault.
He is the perfect example to me of the guy that got his contract and then his performance went to hell.
Yes.
Because that's exactly what happened. I mean, for the first 3 years, he was the best running back in the NFL, or at least one of them. His rookie season, absolutely. His second and third, you can make a debate, but he's still top two or three. Mm-hmm. Got his money, held out, got his money. Good for him. That's not his fault. I mean, you take a shot and the team signed it. But after that, his performance dwindled each year. He had problems with injuries. He grew up during that time, but he definitely wasn't the running back that we needed him to be. And thank God Dak progressed as a quarterback in that time to make up for that. But the first 3 years, this was a run-heavy offense, and we really ran him into the ground.
Yeah.
And it was, I think, noticeable by everyone that he just does not have the step that he used to. What is your...
And you can non-Cowboys fan opinion on this whole subject. I mean,
do you find him to be just another running back, or do you think a Todd Gurley or somebody like, or was he special?
Well, I have an affinity for Todd Gurley. That's just a personal thing. But Ezekiel Elliott was, yes, one of the best running backs in football for at least 3, maybe even 4 years. Yeah. I mean, that's undeniable, right? Mm-hmm. Off the field issues aside, what he gave the Cowboys on the field was nothing short of probably everything he could. I mean, they had some of the best offensive lines. He performed incredibly well when those lines were healthy and at their best. So as a player, I mean, he was as best as he possibly could be. I mean, as an athlete, you get paid, man. Like, that's the business side of things. Happy for you. As a player, friendly guy. I'm like, hey, look, man, go get your money. It's a business. At the end of the day, they will cut you if they can.
And I think that that's a part of it where some people hold a grudge against him because he did get his money. And that's not his fault. That's exactly what
it's the business. It just,
exactly.
That's
the
way it goes.
Whether you're on the dotted line,
whether you're Ezekiel Elliott, whether you're, whether you're the third string quarterback of the New Orleans Saints, whether you're, it doesn't matter. Whether you're the kicker for the Indianapolis Colts, Matt Gay getting 4 years, $22 million. I don't know why.
He got the bag for sure.
He got a huge bag for being a good, and he's a good kicker.
Good for him.
At the end of the day, as a player, you got to make your money.
Yeah.
Is he a Ring of Honor guy? I mean, yeah, he probably will end up in the Ring of Honor. I think what will dictate that we haven't really addressed, is what he does post-Cowboys. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe not on the performance side, but how do you represent the time that you were a Cowboy with other organizations? Do you become bitter? Oh, man, Dallas treated me so unfairly, and I hated my entire experience there. Like, that's a pretty quick way of not becoming a Ring of Honor member.
Yeah, that's probably a good point. I didn't think of it because it's
true.
Exactly. Other guys have gone. Emmitt Smith went somewhere else. Tony Dorsett went somewhere else. Both of them, I think Emmitt Smith very famously came back to Dallas and got destroyed as a member of the Arizona Cardinals. Tony Dorsett went to Denver, and he just ended his career a couple of years after he went there. But I think that's very telling. If he does go to the Philadelphia Eagles and sticks it to the Cowboys a few times and says,
that does hurt your Ring of Honor chances.
Yeah,
Jerry will remember that.
It's how do you handle that with grace, so to speak? I mean, people are always going to remember Ezekiel Elliott as a Cowboy, unless he does some crazy, phenomenal career comeback kind of move that nobody in NFL history that I can think of has ever done.
All right, and we got to switch real quickly here to some other topics. There is a few more free agents out there. We were talking about defensive tackle. Especially on the interior there, the Cowboys trying to shore up that run defense. That's been a problem for them in the last. They got Jonathan Hankins last year. He appears, from what I'm hearing, to hold out for a while to see exactly what he can get and maybe make the Cowboys sweat or whoever else sweat. Are there any other free agents out there that are still available? Maybe a Bobby Wagner, maybe still out there. Is that a pipe dream? Who are you looking at that you're saying the Cowboys could probably shore up their team even more if they signed this guy?
Firstly, I mean, defensive tackle has been the topic of conversation for a lot of these. I mean, re-signing Leighton Vander Esch, and I think the Cowboys may end up going linebacker at some level in the draft. I don't know that they're going to go for Bobby,
To
be completely honest. They made two big splash moves. I'd be shocked if they were able to pull off a third, just the way the NFL is sometimes. But defensive tackle, now, I know he's older, but I think he's still got maybe another season of at least let's see what we can get out of him. Calais Campbell. He's still on the market.
Talk about this earlier in the week off air.
Yeah, he's still on the market. He's still getting $2.4 million from the Ravens, whether he plays for a team or not. So, I mean, use that to your advantage. If you're the Dallas Cowboys, you've got a guy that's a former All-Pro Pro Bowler. Last season, put up 5.5 sacks, 4 tackles for loss, playing just 54% of the snaps for those Baltimore Ravens. You're trying to shore up the interior. I mean, a one-year, maybe like a $4-ish million contract. I could see that working out well for the Cowboys. Or let's say you go younger by almost a decade, respectfully. Puna Ford from Seattle, another really good player. He had 6 TFLs last year, 3 sacks, 55% of the snaps for the Seahawks last year, and another similar-ish deal. You could probably get him 1 year for maybe $5 million. So that's just a couple of options that I noticed on the market. I was like, hey, these guys would look great with the Dallas Cowboys star on their helmet.
Yeah, so you're definitely kind of targeting right now the defense, the defensive tackle.
It's just,
that's the biggest left area of need, I think.
And is that the biggest... Is that who you're focusing on, the Campbell?
Yeah, Calais Campbell I like a lot. I also, a Linval Joseph, but that's an old guy too, you know. So it's like I like the idea of bringing in an older guy at that position. Most of the time you don't like the idea of signing a guy past the age of 33 or 34 or whatever. But I really like that idea because I'm fairly confident the Cowboys are going to be taking an interior defensive tackle within the first 3 rounds. I mean, quite frankly, what I think they're going to do is I think they're going to take that defensive tackle out of Baylor in the 2nd round. I can't remember his name. He's Hawaiian in origin, but there's a big drop off after him. Mm-hmm. He was a part of the Cowboys interview process. He's come back multiple times. I've got a little inkling that might be a player they select, and I love the idea of having a veteran who that player can learn from, whether it be the Baylor player or another player defensive tackle. I think they're going to get one in the first 3 rounds, and I like the idea of a really talented vet kind of shepherding them along, and a Calais Campbell fits that enormously. I mean, first of all, the dude's an absolute giant. He's 6'7", 320-some-odd pounds. He's an absolute brick house, and he's a monster. So getting to learn under that, and like Tristan said, like, he actually was pretty productive last year for the limited amount of snaps he would take. I'm not saying you don't bring him and Jonathan Hankins in, because I'm saying you bring them both in.
Yeah.
You've still got $16 million on this cap. You'll need about 12-some-odd to go into, maybe 10-some-odd to go into the draft with. You've got a little bit more if you want to squeeze the lemon here. I would like bringing in 2 vets, Hankin being a vet too, turning 30 this year.
Yeah, and I'm going to ask him, I got away from this, what position or what kind of pick – if the Cowboys, now I know you're not a huge fan, but let's say the Cowboys make this pick, whatever it is, in the first round, what would you go, what the heck were they thinking? What position would you be a little bit scratching your head at?
Right now, I would probably say corner in round 1. Now they've got Stephon Gilmore, now they've got Trayvon Diggs. It looks like they're pretty confident in their safeties with Kirsten Lewis. I'd be kind of surprised if they went defensive back in round 1, to be completely honest with you.
Yeah, I think that's pretty... I think that they definitely could put that back. And it seems to be a cornerback-rich draft.
Yeah,
I'm not totally certain on that.
I could see Eli Ricks out of Bama in round 2, and I'd still love that pick.
Yeah, and so I think the Cowboys, to me, I'm almost dead certain, and unless I'm way off here, I'm almost dead certain the Cowboys are going to go offense in the first round in some type of playmaker. And I know that whether that is a running back, whether that is a tight end, whether that is a wide receiver – I think that's what they're going to do if they don't make another kind of signing in the off season here before that happens. If somehow they are able to land a Hopkins or Maybe they make another trade and get a damn Allen Robinson or something
yeah,
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that'd be nice great too.
You know, something like that. If they pull a surprise, I think that they're going to go offense in the first round. And I wouldn't also be surprised. The only other offensive player is someone on the line. I think the line is always something they're trying to shore up, especially with when you have Tyron Smith. It appears he's going to be the left guard, maybe your left tackle. I'm not sure. You got Tyler Smith on that side. I definitely think they're going to want a little bit of guard help. So they might go that route in the first round, and that would be awesome if they did, because they really need a little bit more pass protection, in my opinion, going into next season. Is there one name, though, that you could say in this draft upcoming, God, I just kind of like this kid. I'd love it if they got him. I know that you've thrown some few names out there, but if there's one that you're just like, God, I'd like to have that guy on my team.
For me,
whatever it is,
it's a name that I think 32 other fan bases would also like to have on their team. It's probably going to be the best player in this draft, because you know how drafts go. You take quarterbacks up here, maybe they'll be good, maybe they won't be, and then eventually when you get done taking quarterbacks, the non-quarterback desperate team grabs that best player. I believe that best player this year, and I sound kind of hypocritical because I was complaining about Zeke's off-the-field issues, and now I'm going to come on here and say that I like Jalen Carter with an NFL team draft. So I know, but I really do feel that way. And we were talking about needs, defensive tackle. He's a defensive tackle. Yeah. He's a generational defensive tackle.
Look, if he's there at 26, I don't care what.
No, exactly. No, he ain't going to be there at 26.
You'd have to trade multiple. In my first iteration of my mock draft, I actually have us trading our first two picks away and a fifth next year just to go up to 5 and take that. That's Seattle's pick at number 5. It's loony, silly. It's kind of Madden-esque, to be honest. But if you're asking, like, take the name. Here are all the names. You have to choose one, and the Cowboys make it happen no matter what. I really don't like your first and second round picks and a fifth next year. I mean, to me, if you can get a guy in here who can be as impactful as he's being projected to be, and now I've got Micah Parsons and Sam Williams and Tank Lawrence and Jalen Carter. I mean, Dante Fowler, who got 6 sacks for us last year. I mean, it's just that combined with a bolstered up secondary with Gilmore out there. I mean, they say defense wins championships. That's how you win a. That's how you win a championship.
Yeah, that is how you win a Super Bowl.
Is there a name that you're thinking of? And maybe it's. I don't necessarily know if like that one is never going to be a pipe dream.
But that'd be crazy.
Is there someone maybe in your head that is a little bit more? Well, that could be a possibility with the Cowboys, or you think might be a good pick.
So, just a guy I love in general. That as a Patriots fan, I'd be over the moon if the Patriots drafted him, and would probably reasonably be there. For the Cowboys, he could still very well be there. I really like Zay Flowers. Checking out his film, man. I've talked about him
on
a previous podcast.
Him, yeah.
I see shades of not crazy Antonio Brown. Like I see shades of a guy who can make
Antonio Brown.
Yeah, like I see shades of a guy that can make incredible plays on the outside, and at a time where wide receiver is so important, I just love what I watch on his film for him. Like I see him being a very good gadget guy for whatever offense he lands on. I think no matter what team he goes on, as long as they have like some kind of offensive forward mindset, he's going to be dynamic and he's going to be a really special weapon.
For me, and I think I mentioned this to you, and I don't know if it would be interesting if the Cowboys would actually go for him in the first round. It's Darnell Washington, that tight end out of Georgia. Dude's 6'7" and
he's
a freak
huge athlete.
And, I mean, you got a pretty good blocker there. You've got a guy that can come off the block that has got great speed. I can't remember but his 40 speed, but he ran a pretty impressive 40. And so you've got a guy that can stretch the field a bit here. I know that everyone's looking at that Kincaid guy out of Utah, but, you know, I could see a guy like that being someone that the Cowboys, if you get a tight end that could take advantage of a safety or could accompany a safety, that opens up so much. You want to talk about what Cooks could do on a slant route or what CeeDee could do. And then, you know, Tony Pollard, if now a safety has got to be taken up by Darnell Washington or a tight end like that, I would say Darnell Washington would be the guy. Boy, this offense, you've got all kinds, especially West Coast when everything's timing. My God, you would really open up quite a bit. So I'd like to see the Cowboys do something with him. That would be the guy I'd really like to see. I would also, on a lesser note, I would like to see the Cowboys get a quarterback, and I don't know for certain if
you're not feeling Cooper Rush as the backup again. Come on,
no, they're definitely gonna. They're gonna draft a guy. No, he'll be the third string. I think Duggan could be that guy.
That's what I'm thinking too.
I really do.
Hometown
if,
kid.
If Bennett's available, but I'm hearing some interesting things about him that he's not. You know, maybe he's a little loony and he's a little older. I would say the safe bet would be Duggan. And those two guys are the ones that come up to mind. Well, we're running out of time for this week's show. The next couple of weeks, we're going to dive a little bit more into the draft and actually bring up some names. We'll do some mocks to see exactly what we think is going to happen when it comes to draft time, April 27th. But until then, have a great one.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.